Good morning to you. Tonight at 5:30, we have church conference. Proposed budget will be presented. We will also have a couple other items we need to give attention to, but we'll be discussing the budget that is proposed for the next year, 2021. And then at the last Sunday of this month, we will simply vote on that budget without discussion. So tonight's discussion is important. If you're interested, have anything to say, please come tonight for that discussion time. Also, the November Chimes newsletter is available at the Welcome Center. We did get those sent out through emails, but if you have happened not to receive it or you're not checking your emails, there are hard copies down at the Information Center. Thanksgiving blessing boxes, we need pantry foods for that as we're packing up some boxes for a certain number of families in our community to give those out. And then a church-wide Thanksgiving meal this coming Wednesday, November the 18th at the Student Ministries building at 6 o'clock in the evening. We do need cooked turkeys and hams. If you're able to help provide for that, please contact the office and donate one of these and let us know. Volunteers are needed to set up tables and chairs tomorrow morning at 9 at the SMB, Student Ministries building, to help prepare for that church-wide Thanksgiving meal. If you're able to come help, please, that would help Thomas out abundantly. And the Jackson County Ministerial Alliance Community Thanksgiving Service will be held next Sunday evening at the Assembly of God Church at 6 o'clock. We will not have services here that evening. Brother Dewey has been invited to speak at that gathering, and so we encourage you to do that. Also, we'll be taking an offering up for the Helping Hands Ministry in our community to help support the work that they're doing through the year. So thank you for your attention to those. There's very likely other announcements that we could make, but we're going to get on to our worship. Let's bow together for prayer as we prepare our hearts. Father, as we come into this place, we thank you for being Creator God. Lord God, being worthy of our worship and our adoration, our allegiance, and that this morning is a day appointed, set aside for us to come and to gather together and to unite our hearts and our souls and our minds to sing praises to you and thanksgivings to you, to attune our hearts to your truth. Lord God, to pray to you, interceding and also just making requests, Father God, that you would hear and bless your people. We thank you so much for salvation that you have brought to us through Jesus Christ, by grace, through faith in his work at crucifixion and in the resurrection. Father, you have secured salvation for those who will believe. And Father God, we pray, thanking you for that blessing. We want to praise your name. We want to celebrate that life. And so thank you for allowing us to come together this morning. We pray for your Holy Spirit to enable us to worship you appropriately and adequately. Lord God, we love you so much, but we know it's only because you have loved us, and out of your great mercy, you have allowed us to know you through Christ Jesus. And so we pray, thanking you for this privilege. We ask, Father, that you draw us near to you, that you be in our midst, and Lord, that you would just help us to see you clearly. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord, that we pray. Amen. Brother Joe.
Good morning. I'm always reminded that Scripture clearly teaches that God inhabits the praise of his people. And that's what we've come to do this morning, praise and glorify his holy name. We're going to sing Fairest Lord Jesus, this Revelation 1:16 begins, the first chapter begins to talk about John seeing a vision. He's carried away, and he sees the Lord Jesus high and lifted up. His countenance was as the bright day sun. Let's sing together.
Fairest Lord Jesus, ruler of all nature, oh, shines purer than all the angels have can boast. Beautiful Savior, Lord of all nations, Son of God and Son of Man. Glory and honor, praise and adoration, now and forevermore be thine.
Amen. We focus on the Lord Jesus, and as we do, we are carried away to Calvary, where he was crucified and where he paid the price for our salvation. And we are praising him as we sing at Calvary.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. Knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. My sin I'd learned, then I trembled at the law I'd spurned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There salvation's plan, oh, the grace that brought it down to man, oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to
look in joy and triumph that our Lord paid that price, gloriously raised from the dead on the third day. And the Spirit of God comes at Pentecost on us, on believers there, and each of us as we make our commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, receiving him as Savior. This is a song that reminds me of the Galatians 2 passage, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. This song was one of the songs that we sang a cappella in the car going down the road. And to sing with your family, your child, your wife, your husband, It's a glorious thing. And they remember those things that you planted in their hearts. Sheila.
What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I had sought since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart. I'm possessed of a hope that is steadfast and sure. Since Jesus came into my heart. And no dark clouds of doubt now form pathway obscure. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart. I shall go there to dwell in that city I know. Since Jesus came into my heart. And I'm happy, so happy as onward I go. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart.
Amen. We, our brother's going to bring us a message. It's talking about sowing and sowing the seed of the kingdom. And Scripture tells us that faith come by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God is going to be preached and we're going to hear it. And we'll know it and we'll share it. And others will hear it and come to the Lord Jesus. Evangelism and mission is the work of the church. We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let's sing it together.
We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land. Climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward 'tis our Lord's command. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the name
Saves. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we love you, we praise you, we need you every hour. Father God, we ask now as we come to this time of hearing, of listening, of deciding, O Holy Spirit, guide us, move us, clarify our condition and our response to you. Spirit, move and work in Brother Robert. Give him the words of life to share with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Joe, covering. Brother Alec is on a two-week respite and well-deserved, and Brother Joe will be covering for him next two Sundays, so I'm grateful for that. And this morning, in light of Operation Christmas Child Shoebox dedication, thought we might kind of focus a little bit on the opportunity this morning to encourage one another to be diligent, to continue taking part in other opportunities. Operation Christmas Child is about sending boxes across the world during the Christmas season for children to collect, to hear the gospel, and also to have opportunity to respond to that gospel. And while that project is ending, it seems in mid-November, it will continue in the days to come. And we also have other opportunities that we'll be able to have the opportunity to be able to invest in as we're looking forward to this idea of sowing seed for the kingdom. Any opportunity to give is an opportunity to sow. It is an opportunity either out of our energy, out of our finances, our provisions, our efforts, ourselves, to invest in the work of the kingdom. And as has been the case during this entire year, we've had to be creative with how we do that, and we'll continue to be so as this virus is, the people that know stuff say it's making a comeback, and we can be careful, but we still have opportunities to be able to share the gospel, and we should not miss those. And so this morning, I'd like for us to go to one verse this morning. It'll be found in a context that we'll be talking about, but let's stand together as we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. It's one verse. I'm going to read it twice, and then we'll pray. The Apostle Paul, within the context of this idea of financial stewardship, he says in chapter 9, verse 6 in 2 Corinthians, "Now this I say, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully." Again, "Now this I say, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully." Let's pray together. Father, as we look to you and continue to hear your voice and to see your truth, we pray, Father, that our hearts are open and receptive to that truth. But Lord God, that we are willing to yield ourselves to this truth so that we might honor you. And to keep in mind, Father, that nothing in our walk with you is accomplished outside of the power and provision that you give us through the Holy Spirit and the truth of your word. And so, Father, help us to heavily rely upon you as we think on this responsibility that you call us to sow for the kingdom. Lord God, may you be glorified through it all, is our prayer. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. If you have your Bibles, you might want to keep those open for the entirety of the message. I will be referring to some of the verses found there locally in chapter 8 and 9 of 2 Corinthians. It is a couple of chapters that are involved in addressing financial stewardship. The Apostle Paul makes it clear. He uses an illustration of the generosity of the churches in Macedonia, in an area in South Asia, as it were, South Asia too, who were desiring to be a part of the ministry. The saints in Jerusalem had been suffering persecution by this time, coming under heavy fire from the Roman government, as well as Jews who were dissatisfied with this movement of the way. And so the saints were suffering, and the churches who were being established because of the faithfulness of the Apostle Paul and other believers who were spreading the gospel, the churches were beginning to take up offerings, love offerings, as it were, to pass down to the saints at Jerusalem. And those at Macedonia, in the churches in Macedonia, wanted to participate. In fact, the Apostle Paul, in the early verses of chapter 8, refers to their example as motivation for the Corinthian church to participate in this giving to the saints. He said the Macedonians gave liberally. They gave as much as they possibly could, and they gave out of their poverty. They were very poor people, impoverished, but they gave anyway. They gave sacrificially. They gave begging for the opportunity to participate in that particular opportunity. They begged for the opportunity. The Apostle Paul probably said, "You don't have very much. You are not expected," but their hearts moved them to give and to participate in this blessing. The Apostle Paul was using this illustration as hope that it would encourage and motivate the Corinthian church to be ready. Now, the scripture implies that they had begun an offering early on, but perhaps they had kind of lost the vision on that and directed their attention to other things. Now, Paul was calling them back to this original desire that they had to give. And he found that the key to the Macedonians' excitement was in verse 5 of that eighth chapter. "And this, not as we expected. They begged us for the favor of participation in the support of the saints. And this, not as we had expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God." This is the key to giving. This is the key to free will offerings. That word free will is used in the New Testament a couple of times by the Apostle Paul. And this is meaning that no one's forcing you to give. You are giving because the conviction of the Lord, the impression of the Lord is upon your heart, and you're moved to give for a particular purpose. And here the Apostle Paul was pointing out that these believers in Macedonia gave because they had given themselves first to the Lord. It's amazing when we align ourselves with the Lord, what He can move us to do. We can do some things we never would have thought we'd done before, but because the Lord, we yield ourselves to Him, He begins prompting us and moving us, directing us to doing so. And for the believer to know what and how much they should give to whatever effort, we need to be in prayer, seeking the Lord's will, desiring for Him to give us that direction. Now, today we can utilize Scripture, pray through Scripture. We know the will of God because the Scripture is that direction for us. But we're also called to pray. And we're called to meditate on the Scripture and to yield ourselves before the Lord and be receptive and listen. You know, praying is not just about talking and asking God for stuff. Sometimes it's just listening, being quiet, and hearing what the Lord God is trying to say to our hearts through the Scripture truth and by the Spirit. And so these Macedonians more than likely prayed to the Father about their part in this project. And the more they prayed, the more they felt themselves compelled to give. And they committed themselves to do so. Even though they were poor and had their own needs, they prayed, "Lord, how can we do this and still be a ministry to others even though we're poor?" And as they did that, the Lord continued to put that desire on their hearts to give, assuring them that He would provide for them out of what they gave. And this is what we find the Apostle Paul concluding by the end of chapter 9, and we'll look at that in just a moment. You cannot outgive God. As you align yourself with Him and He moves you to give, He is doing that because He's going to provide for you to be able to continue to give in a way that honors His name. And so they trusted that the Lord would take care of whatever needs that were incurred by their giving, and they moved forth in that. And the Apostle Paul used them as an example to this Corinthian church. I'm reminded of Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, where he spoke to his audience about don't worry about how you're going to be fed, how you're going to be clothed. Don't worry about the length of your life. He said, the Father knows you have these things and you need these things. And just as he supplies for the birds of the air who are fed daily, they go out. They don't have to stress over it. They find their food. The flowers of the field who are beautifully arrayed, even more than Solomon in all his glory. And the length of life, you have no control over that. Just as the Lord supplies for the flowers and the birds, he will supply for you because you are of more worth than flowers and birds. This is the words that Christ gave to the listeners in that audience that day. And they apply here. Just as the Lord supplies for our needs, he knows what we need. The Macedonians believe that truth. They believe that principle. And they gave. They sought the Father's direction. They felt as though they were given so-called green light to move forward and to go ahead and give generously, knowing God would take care of anything that they might have need of as a result of their giving. And then skip over to chapter 9. The Apostle Paul is talking about this grace of giving. Giving is a grace of God. When you think about it, there's no one who has given more than our God. He has given a world in which we can live. He has given man opportunity to serve in that world. He has given man general grace, provisions for every day to be able to breathe and to live. That is God giving for us. And then he gives opportunities for us to know him. He reveals himself through the heavens and through his creation, through animals, through plants. He is constantly giving. And we are like God when we do the same, when we give. We are like him. And so it is a ministry of grace in this giving. But as we looked at verse 6, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. This is an agrarian kind of language. Sowing is the idea of throwing seed on the ground, and then reaping is when the harvest comes. All things have grown, and you go and you collect what you have sown. And whoever sows sparingly is going to reap sparingly. That is, you just throw out a little bit thinking, oh, this ground's not very good. I'm gonna not worry about throwing seed here. I'm going to go throw seed everywhere else. You prepare it as best as you can, and a farmer trusts that God will bring forth whatever he throws his seed out to bear. And he trusts the Lord. And this is the idea of sowing and reaping. But when you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. You don't put the hard work in, you won't see a return on that. But if you do so bountifully, if you're generous, liberal, and diligent in bearing out the sowing, you will find a bountiful harvest. Now, there's a lot more in this context surrounding this verse, of course. But I want us to just focus on this for a moment. This idea is a principle that holds true in the natural realm as well as in the spiritual realm. The natural realm, you go out and you throw seed in a place and stuff grows up. Sometimes stuff grows up where you don't want it to grow up because some bird has come along and they have fertilized for you and they leave something there and it grows up. So you just never know when you're throwing seed what's going to come forward. But that's an agrarian principle. You throw out the seed and something will come forth. The same thing is true in the spiritual realm. That size of the harvest is going to correspond to the amount of sowing. And if you're just very stingy and you're not putting out much, you're not going to see much returned. I think about Proverbs chapter 11. I love this set of verses in verses 24 to 26. And I've referred to it before. But here we find the wisdom writer giving us this clarity. There's one who scatters, yet he increases all the more. And there's one who withholds what is justly due, but it results only in want. The generous man will be prosperous, and he who waters will himself be watered. He who withholds grain, the people will curse him, but blessing will be on the head of him who sells it. Of him who lets go, there will be abundance. For the one who holds back, he's going to find himself impoverished. This is a principle. It's true in the Old Testament, it's true in the New Testament, it's true today. In the spiritual realm, we can believe that we have opportunity and choice to say, I'm going to take this grain and I'm going to just eat all this grain. I'm going to enjoy this fruit of my labor and eat all of it. Or that man can take some of that grain, in fact, lose some of it, he might say, and throw it out and plant it, and then later reap a bountiful harvest as a result of that. So he can either eat what he has, he can take and just be selfish, or he can let go and find a bountiful harvest at the end. That's what those verses are reminding us of, and that is what we need to understand. A spiritual harvest might differ in kind from the seed that's planted to that which is sown. And what I mean by that is this. Look at chapter 2. I'm in 2 Corinthians 9:9. Look at this verse. He scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, and his righteousness abides forever. If someone scatters, gives to the poor, they are supplying a material need. They're helping a poor person to have something to eat, or a naked person to have something put on their body, or someone who doesn't have water, they're giving them drink. But the return on this is not something physical. It's not food or water or clothes. But his righteousness is enhanced. It abides forever. There's a spiritual return on this material gift. That's much of what's happening when we give of the Operation Christmas Child, when we form a box and we put some material things inside a box. And we provide for some very practical needs, some things that people might need along the way. And we put that box together and we give it. We do it with prayers and hopes that the gospel is going to be heard along with that material gift. And as a result, there will be a harvest that comes forth out of that. We need to keep in mind this parable. Remember the parable that Jesus taught about the seed and about the soils. Matthew chapter 13, Mark chapter 4, and Luke chapter 8. Each of those Gospels gives this account of this parable that Jesus tells, where the sower goes out and just casts seed. He just throws seed everywhere. Some of it lands on hard ground, some in some rocky soil, some in the thorny weeds, and others in good soil. And he gives a description of each of those. That fell on the hard soil, there's not going to be any production because birds are going to come steal that. He said that's like the devil coming and taking away the truth, that some hearts that are hardened will not hear and they will be destroyed. He talks about this other seed going on rocky soil where there seems to be some kind of response. Something grows up, but because it's in the soil, there's no deep root, and when the sun comes and burns on it, it withers and it dies. This is the picture of someone who might say that they've trusted Christ. They got excited about the whole church thing and the idea that God loves me and all these nice people, but when the heat gets turned on, when they really start seeing who Jesus is, they can't handle it and they move on. Or for those, the seeds that were thrown in the thorny soil where they start growing up along with all the thorny junk, but then the thorny stuff chokes them out. Jesus says that's indicative of those who are supposedly made a decision for Christ, but they're growing up in the world and the cares and concerns of the world choke out their desire for the Lord. And so they're not really part of the Lord. They just look like it. Remember, Jesus taught another parable about the wheat and the tares. They look alike. And the servants of the master came back and said, well, shall we go out there and tear the weeds out? No, because you might harm the wheat. That will come in the judgment. The separation will happen in the judgment. But then Jesus talks about sowing seed and good soil. And he makes this determination. He says there's like 20-fold, 30-fold, 40-fold, 50-fold, even 100-fold return on that seed. But there are some seed that will be sowed out there, and it will not reap a harvest. But there's other seed that will be sown, and it will reap an abundant harvest. This is a spiritual principle that God teaches us, and the Apostle Paul is teaching it here, trying to convince the Corinthian believers that they should be generous, they should be liberal in their giving, and they should depend upon what the Lord does with that. And we should too. As we give of these boxes, we have opportunity to share the gospel with someone. We should be depending upon what the Lord does with that sowing. And the return that comes from that is because of the Lord. And then we give honor and glory to the Lord, which is where it belongs. And we find that we experience joy out of that. A bit further in this 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we find that the Apostle Paul says there in verse 7, God loves a cheerful giver. One who doesn't give grudgingly or under compulsion, but someone who gives because the Lord has stirred their heart and he's bringing them to a place of wanting to experience joy. They want to give and joy is experienced. Just this morning read a scripture reading in my daily reading out of Psalm 126 verses 5 and 6. Those who sow in tears will reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now this is a picture of one who's faithful in sowing, even though it might be difficult, knowing that the return is going to bring joy. It's also a picture of Jesus, who has come and he's offered himself up and he's sown the seed of the gospel in this world. And he's doing it through his people. And one day he will come again and he will come with joy. He'll come in victory and he'll bring his sheaves with him. He'll bring all those who've died in Christ will come with him in the clouds of the sky to make us bring forth his harvest. It's a double kind of application. But when we sow with a cheerful heart, even when we sow with a sad heart, God is faithful to bring forth a harvest. He wants us to give because not because someone's forcing us, but because we feel the prompting of the Lord. We sense the prompting of the Lord. We know that there's a need, and we give because we know it's the right thing to do. And then a little bit further in this passage, verse 10, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. That is referring to a trusting God. God's the one who supplies food for us. He's the one who supplies any material needs that we have. He also supplies, most certainly, the spiritual things that we need. And as we're faithful to sow the seed of that spiritual reality, it will bring forth a harvest of righteousness. Now listen, you've been imputed as a believer with the righteousness of Christ. But it is amazing when we walk in the Spirit that his righteousness is enhanced, it seems. And we get to experience that righteousness being made manifest and also impacting the lives of others. Again, you can't outgive God. As you commit to align yourself with him and you give, as the Lord moves you to give, you find that the Lord continues to supply you with the resources to be able to give out of that resource in a way that honors him. So in preparing a box for Operation Christmas Child, you've done just that. You're sowing forth for the kingdom, hopefully seeds that will bring forth a mighty harvest. As those children gather together, they hear the gospel presented along with that box, that there will be some who will respond to that gift with a response to trust Christ. I want us to keep in mind that each of those boxes will contain items that are so practical. Think about what you packed in there. If you packed a box, you packed some socks, toothbrush, you maybe a wash rag, a comb. You probably packed something to the effect of items that we take for granted every single day, that we can just go to a drawer, we can open it up, and we can rummage through it and pick out what we want. Many of these children have nothing. They don't have anything. They have one set of clothes. They get up in the morning, they put that same set of clothes on every single day. And we can go into a closet and rummage through. I know I can. And I can rummage through a whole bunch of shirts, a whole bunch of pants, and I can pick out what I want to wear that day. I can go to the bathroom and I know that I have a tube of toothpaste and a toothbrush. And not everybody has those things. Not everybody has a comb. Some don't need a comb. But not everybody has a way to keep themselves clean and looking nice. The very things that we're giving are very practical, but what a blessing it is that those little things are what might touch the heart of a child along with the gospel presentation and bring them to a place to trust the Lord God with their soul and be a child of God for eternity. That's why we accompany these boxes with prayer, that the gospel will be presented, these children will receive as they hear, because faith comes by hearing and hearing of the word of God, and there will be a result of a harvest of souls that will glorify the Father. That's sowing to the kingdom. But when the Operation Christmas Child Ministry is over, after today, what do you do? Well, we have Thanksgiving ministry boxes coming up. You can give to that. We have Christmas ministry boxes that will be coming up. We have Wish Tree Ministry that's going to be out there. There's going to be a tree with some names and some family situations in our community that could use help. Children that may not have a Christmas this year if we don't participate, that can be another way of sowing. And there are a number of ways that we can continue to minister even through this holiday season. Salvation Army, we may have to be creative this year with how we do bell ringing, and I'm going to need helpers, and that can be one way we can sow. That we can make sure needs are met for the people in the coming year in our community who come across hard times. And you can be sure many do and many will. And so I want us to note verse 11 and verse 12 in this ninth chapter of 2 Corinthians. Verse 11, you'll be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. And verse 12 follows the same genre. Look, for the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. That's a common theme, thanksgiving to God. We are in Thanksgiving season. Our sowing the seed and being faithful with what God supplies for us and passing that on to others that it might bring forth a harvest goes to bringing thanksgiving to God. It is for the purpose of directing attention to the Lord and for us making sure the Lord receives thanksgiving, not just us. That is something we should keep in mind as we approach these holiday days. There are many of us that will experience great abundance. We might have family get-togethers and be able to receive a lot of gifts and have a lot of joy in that, but there will be many other families that won't. And we need to be thinking about how we might impact their lives and sowing for the kingdom's sake so that thanksgiving is redirected back to the Lord God. The scripture tells us, the Apostle Paul in another place says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Jesus, first and foremost, is that indescribable gift for which we cannot offer enough thanksgiving. That he would send his son to come and to die for sinful people while we were still sinners. We should thank the Lord for that. We should thank him that he took on all our sin as if he was the sinner, and he gave us his righteousness as if we never sinned. That is a gift for which we should always be grateful to the Lord. And the other reason to be thankful to God for his indescribable gift is because as we receive, out of the bounty of that receiving, if we're faithful to sow, and a harvest comes back, we can turn that around to give thanksgiving and glory and honor to the Father, not to us, but that we can thank him and give him the glory and honor of which he is worthy. So every gesture of giving and serving to the glory and the honor of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit is going to be a bountiful harvest. That is what we should be shooting for. And the Lord makes it happen as his people are faithful. While we put forth an effort, and we should be diligent, we also rely upon the fact that it is the Father who's bringing forth the harvest. Remember Jesus, he told his disciples to pray that the Lord of the harvest will find workers in his field so that he can bring forth a mighty harvest. Where it's the Lord of the harvest who works. He calls us to go out and sow seed, and then he brings forth the harvest out of that. It is our faithfulness to the abundant supply he's given to us that brings forth this harvest by the power of God. Ultimately, he is the one doing that, but he uses us. And what a joy and privilege and an honor it is for us to be used by him. Listen, if you have trusted Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have already experienced an abundance from the Lord God. And now your response should naturally be that you can offer up whatever it is that he has put into your life in service to him. The Apostle Paul in Romans 12 said, present your body a living sacrifice. You may not have to die in serving the Lord, but you should offer yourself sacrificially. And sometimes sowing seed can be a difficult process, but it also brings great return when we commit it to Him. If you have not trusted Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior, it'll be very difficult for you. You'll do work, and you might see some kind of response, but you won't experience this bountiful righteousness the Lord desires for you to know. It only comes through Christ. In that passage in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all that you need will be added unto you." The most important thing you need is to know the Lord Jesus in salvation. Seek Him first. Seek the Lord. Look to Him. Allow the Spirit of God to move in you and respond to Him as He does that. Believer, let's praise the Lord. Let's serve Him. Let's take advantage of the opportunities He gives us to sow this seed for the gospel, for the kingdom that is His, and watch Him do His mighty work in our midst as He uses people like us. What a glory to the Lord that it is, that He shows Himself mighty through such a weak people. He is a good God. Let's pray together. Father, as we have this opportunity now to respond, I pray, Father, that we are found faithful, looking to You, and Lord God, to entrusting ourselves and our provisions, all that You have poured out into our lives, to be turned back to You for Your service, Lord God, so that You might bring forth a harvest that is bountiful. Help us, Father, not to be stingy, not to be arrogant, not to hold back that which You are prompting our hearts to give. And thank You, Father, that You stir us up so that we might cheerfully give to Your honor and glory. Lord God, we love You. Thank You for loving us first through Christ, for giving of Your Son so that we might know forgiveness of sin and then to be filled with Your Spirit and to serve You. It is a privilege. And Lord God, we want to be found good stewards of this great gift that You poured out into our life. Lord, move us, fill us with Your Spirit. Direct us, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand together as we have opportunity to respond. The altar will be open here for a meditation between you and the Lord. I can pray with you. Let's take time to respond.
Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals He's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Tenderly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home.
Father God, as we prepare our hearts to depart this place, we ask You, Lord, to give us wisdom and discernment, sensitivity to those around us who might have need. And then, Lord God, out of a grateful heart for the abundance that You poured out into our lives, out of that sensitivity, Father, a willingness to give and to see another life blessed, Lord God, to accompany that with the truth of Your gospel so that there might be a bountiful harvest reaped for Your glory. Lord God, we look forward to seeing You work in our midst, in and through us. And Lord God, we want to see You exalted in that. And so stir us up and use us. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, to Your honor and glory. Amen. All right, don't forget tonight after Sunday school, tonight we have church conference. Be sure you're here for that. Lord bless.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him. Heavenly host, praise Father.
God bless you. Have a great week.